I have people ask me questions just from time to time. They'll say, how do y'all do this X, Y, Z? And here in, not this week, but next week, we're having a conference here at the church where we've got 25 pastors that are coming that Florida Baptists have invited. And they're coming and they want to ask us, how do you do what you do? They're calling it a battle-ready conference. And so ready for the battle that the Lord puts us in. Well, you know, it's good to have the methods of man, and we need those. Because God gave us a brain and he gave us a work ethic and things to do. And there are things we ought to be about, things we learn from others. And we've all done it, or if we hadn't, we're dumb. All right? We learn from other people. But you know, when you all boil down what we do here, it's really not about our methodology. It's about God's work in us, if anything eternal really goes on. It's not the ways of man, it's the ways of God. And that's what we have to learn and what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. So we are in Isaiah 55 again, and I'm just having a great time studying through this old book, and I want to begin reading in verse 6 where we left off this morning and read down through the end of the chapter in verse 13 where Isaiah talks about the ways of God and the ways of man. The Bible says, in fact, why don't we just all stand up and read this together? All right, it's up on the screen, isn't it? Yeah, you can see that. Let's just all stand and read the Word of God. I love this old text. It's really good. So let's just read out loud all together, unison one time, and read at the same time. All right, now don't lag behind. Keep up. Here we go. All right. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. Just as the heaven is higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What Isaiah does here is contrast the way and the thought of man against the way and the thought of God. I want us to do that for just a few minutes tonight in thinking about the ways of man and the ways of God. Now, man can do a lot of things. We are not unintelligent beings. But if we're going to do that that's eternal, we must come to grasp, we must come to embrace the principled ways and works of God. And oftentimes, the way of God is a direct antithesis to the way of man. And I want us to look at three or four, how many ever I get to tonight, of these illustrations of that. The first one is found in verses 6 and 7. And that is the way of man contrasted to the way of God when it comes to salvation. Now watch this. Every man in the earth that believes there's a God, and that's the majority, if they are in the deepest, darkest place in the earth where the gospel has never gone into what we call the 1040 window, or if they live on Main Street, Pensacola, here is how man thinks about living forever. If I do more good than I do bad, then I get to go where God is and live forever. That's the way of man. Any man you talk to, if he does not believe the gospel, he will say to you that if I can just do enough good works, then I will go to a place called heaven when I die. But if my balance is out of balance and I do more bad than I do good, I'll go to hell when I die. Now, that's the way of man. You interview the man on the street, and that's what they'll tell you, is if they just do enough good, they go into heaven. And then when you ask them, you'll say, well, do you think you've done more good or bad? Say, well, they'll always begin with, well, I ain't no saint. That's where they all start. But I believe that when it's all said and done, that I will just barely get by about 51 to 49. That's the way most men will say. You see, they will not convince you because they've not convinced themselves that they are really unrighteous. They're just a little bit better than they are wicked. When the truth of the matter is, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is nothing righteous in us, no, nothing. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And James says that if you've sinned in one matter, it's as if you've broken the whole law, and therefore you are guilty of all. That's the way of man, though, is that we've got this scale business. That's not the mind of God. God's ways are higher than that. God's ways are above that. God's way is by grace. Seek the Lord while he might be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Don't go your way. Get away from that way. Forsake your way. And the unrighteous man to forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And he will abundantly pardon. Hear me tonight. The way of God is the way of the cross. It is Christ and Christ alone. If you are listening by radio, internet tonight, if you listen to this passage, and many people listen to us in the jail on Sunday night, a lot of Baptists stay home from the church they ought to be faithful in, listen to us on the radio. God love you wherever you are. Wherever you may be, or sitting right here in this room at Olive Baptist Church at 1836 Olive Road, Pensacola, Florida, 32514. If you're right here in this building tonight, know that the way man thinks is, if I can just do a little bit better and I do good, or a little bit better and I do bad, I'm going to heaven. That is not the truth. For by grace, and only by grace, are you saved. It is in Christ and Christ alone. And you must come to faith in Christ and give your whole heart unto the Lord Jesus. That's what Shane came to understand a few years ago when we were talking. Beverly was seeing her husband that came to faith in Christ, and there was a police officer brought him to a power lunch, and we began to talk about the gospel, and he had understood that it was not by some religion or doing things that were good. And we ought to do good things. Goodness knows we're not against doing good. We're for good. We've had enough bad. Amen. We're looking for good, but it is by grace, and then grace causes us to come to goodness. First of all, God's ways are above man's ways. God's thought is above man's thought when it comes to salvation. You know, the Lord is a God of laws. There are moral laws. There are civil laws. There are physical laws. There are laws of anatomy. Now you take the physical law tonight of gravitation. Gravity. You're on top of this building, you jump off, you're not going up, you're coming down. Every time you'll come down. Now you may say in my mind, well, you know, I believe I can fly. Well, just to understand, you're not going to fly. Because the ways of God are above. You can think that, but just because you say one doesn't make it so. You see, if you come against the laws of God, when it comes in anatomy, in our physical body, let me tell you, if you bring a little cup of strychnine up here tonight and you just say, well, you know, I just believe I can drink anything. Well, you just take you some of that. We'll have your funeral Wednesday, all right? See, there are the laws of God that are in place. And just because we think certain ways doesn't make it true. God's ways are above our ways. God's thoughts are above our thoughts. And what we've got to do is bring ourselves to have spiritual sense enough to bring ourselves under the submission of God's ways and thoughts. Now, not only with salvation, but then when it comes to the scriptures. Now, if you talk to man, here's what man will tell you. Man will say, you got the Book of Mormon, you got the Quran, you've got the writings of Muhammad, and then you got the Bible, and they're all the same. All of them are just the same. They're just talking about a different God, and they're all good books, and some people even throw in some other book that they like. It's a leadership book, and they'll just say, you know, all of these things, they're just all equal. Well, that's what man thinks, but that's not what God thinks about his book. For he says right here, look at it in verse number 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return there without watering the earth. I mean, when rain and snow come, the earth gets wet. And making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Friend, when it rains, you ought to be grateful, because not only does it give seed to the sower, it gives bread to the eater, and that's me. So shall my word, the same way that rain and snow comes, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Do you understand the word of God? When it goes forth into our world, it does that God has for it to do every time, and it never comes back empty. The King James used the word void. It never comes back void. It always comes back doing that God wants it to do. Now, that's why. That's why every church ought to be a Bible-proclaiming church. You ought to teach the Scriptures. Now, there are times that we do some other things, but the basic steady diet of a church and of any churchman and any Christian ought to be the Word of God. It's why we do it. Now, we begin to think, now, what we do, we'll say, well, you know, the Bible is just a little bit old-fashioned. This would be man's thought. Man will begin to say, you know, well, the Bible is really not... You know, it's okay, and we ought to read it, but we ought to do some other things. Well, I'm telling you, when you take a month, and then a quarter, and then a year, and then another year, and another year, and another year, and you don't hear what this book says, you'll find the church will dry, it will parch, it will begin to crack open like dry ground, and there will be nothing in it. Because all that people are getting are the thoughts of man rather than the thoughts of God. And God's ways are above our ways. God's thoughts are above our thoughts, like the heavens are above the earth, as he said. And the scripture goes forth and it does not return void back to us. So always. Now, how many Sunday school teachers came back tonight? You teach a Sunday school class, all right? You're across here. Would y'all just stand up? I want to look at you. All my Sunday school workers that are here. Sunday, if you're a director, or you work, you're a secretary, you do anything Sunday school leadership, you just stand and just help us here. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you in something. I want to encourage you about this book. And I want to encourage you not to always lecture your people. I want to encourage you to let them in the class and let them participate. Have some questions for them. Have some small group interaction things for them so they can begin to talk. I was talking to one of my young adults the other day, and here's what they said to me. It's a young college student. They said, Pastor, we come on Sunday morning, you talk to us. We come on Sunday night, you talk to us. We're not against that. We go to BCM on a certain night, and they talk to us. We go to Crossroads on Tuesday night, and they talk to us. And what we need is some time where we can have interaction with our peers. I said, well, how about Sunday school? He said, when I go to Sunday school, I sit down and they talk to us. He said, I've got to have some time where I can begin to ask questions and talk about that. Your small group needs some interaction. It takes a little more creativity to do that. But I encourage you to be about it. Whatever you do, don't get away from the Bible lesson. This is the book. As Grandmother Bowman used to say to me, it don't make no difference what you think, son. It's the book. It's the book. It's the book. It's the book. Amen. Hey, give these Sunday school teachers a hand tonight. Amen. Tell them thank you for all the good work they do. And if you're applauding and you don't attend a Sunday school class, then at the altar call tonight, you come kneel right down here and you sign up for a small group. And all the Sunday school teachers said, yeah, praise the Lord. All right. Number one, our salvation. We got to make sure we got the mind of God. When it comes to the Word of God, we have the mind of God. In this text, he talks about joy. Joy. How are we going to get happy? Most people think if I get a pot full of money, I'm going to be happy. But money ain't got nothing to do with that. It really doesn't. Hey, there's lots of sad folk walking around these last week or two. Look what he said in verse 12. For you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. There's a little song we sing out of this text right here. And the mountains and the hills will break forth with shouts of joy before you. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Yeah, you do it twice. That's when we do it. Comes right out of Isaiah 55. Somebody said, I just thought that was no silly song somebody made up. No, it's right here out of the Word of God. That the trees of the field will clap their hands. Then in verse 13, look at this. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And what he's contrasting here is these are weeds that hurt you and thorns as opposed to the fresh growth of God. Instead of that nettle that'll stick you, the myrtle will come up. And that's going to be a memorial unto the Lord, an everlasting sign that'll not be cut off. Now, what we've got is the man's thought and God's thought. You see, man thinks, bless God, if I just get even, like a thorn, like a nettle, that old boy, he does that to me, I'll just... That's not the mind of God. That's not the way of God. God says you return good for evil. If somebody strikes you on one side of the face, you turn the other side of the face. Friend, we're not supposed to get even. We're supposed to get the gospel out. That's the way you do that. It's through the good works that are the antithesis of everything that your flesh tells you to do. Amen. Now, I messed up yesterday big time. My flesh just got on me. Now, my flesh is it's grade A. I mean, I got a case of it. And I'm at the ball game. And you know, at the ball game, they give you a seat about as wide as that book. And everybody that comes to that game is not that size. There's some great big people come. But now these two great big people that were sitting in their seat and my seat, it wasn't as just them. They brought them one of those stadium seats that fit them. And it had arms on it. And they just all laid back there. So here I am, Rachel and I at the game, and we got this much room for our two deals. And so we're sitting in there kind of. Now, I know this never bothers you. But now I got to get Mr. and Mrs. Chunky moved down there. I mean, they done took up about the 40-yard line. And I mean, we. And finally, I just looked down. I said, sir, we got to have some relief down here. And he said, what seats you got? I said, I paid for the one you're on. And he wouldn't move. and my flesh got grade A. You know, I'm not big, but I'm wiry now. I'm just... The length of that story is he moved that seat. And I had all kind of room to sit down. But he ain't talked to me since. And you see, I got done what's supposed to be done, but the way I got it done was my way. It wasn't God's way. I could have made a better appeal than I made. Friend, what we've got to always do is make the appeal. And then, as the second quarter got in, we're sitting in the sunshine. Dr. Lewis, Stan Lewis, sitting right behind me yesterday. It's a miracle of God. He actually went to a ball game. He didn't know what they was doing, but he went. And the sun was beating down, and then a little cloud came over. Just about the size of a man's hand, you know, in the Old Testament. And some old boy that knew us from two rows back shouted down there and said, "Well, I wondered if having two preachers in front of me was ever going to help get the sun out of my eye." Uh-oh. The guy with the big chair down there done found out my occupation. Do you ever have to apologize? Now, the ways of God are apologetic when you blow it. But the ways of man, bless God, I deserve that. It's my seat. See, we can have the ways of man that really taste good to us. Amen? But I'm telling you, they bring a bitter, bitter taste in the mouth of our Father. We must go to His ways because His ways are higher than our ways. And then we think about who does God use? You know, if I was going to use somebody, I'd use smart, good-looking, upstanding people, wouldn't you? But take you by. I want to show you one more thing. I got time here. Well, I guess I do. I mean, we're not going anywhere. First Corinthians, first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Just look here. One last thing I want to show you of the ways of God as opposed to the ways of man. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I think I'm going to have to get a new Bible. This is falling apart. Don't run by me a Bible. If I want one, I get it, all right? Leave that alone. You okay, Howard? Amen. All right. The Bible says 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God." You see, God chooses ordinary, normal folk like us in order to do His work. Because when, now He'll use, He doesn't use any mighty or anybody. He says that's not normally the way He does it. He didn't choose many that are wise. He used some. Some of the wisest, smartest people in all the world stand for God, but that's the minority report. But you see, man thinks, oh, if we can just get mighty and noble and those kind of people. But God says, I have chosen the base. I have chosen the foolish. I have chosen the weak. I have chosen those that are down in order that I could get the glory. See, the way of God is that He takes the small to make it great. Jesus' favorite verse, the one he quoted more than anything in all the Word of God, said three times in the Gospels. The only thing that's recorded three times that he said on three separate occasions. He that exalts himself will be brought low, but he that humbles himself will be lifted up. But the way of man is just the difference of that, isn't it? Do you know the number one books now that preachers are reading are leadership books? And God knows our churches need better leaders. I mean, we've had a void of that for all, but now I believe that we've tipped the scale and we are now reading more about leadership than we are lordship. And when you leave lordship for leadership, you've gone the way of man rather than the way of God. But we're not to be figuring out the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership from John Maxwell. We need to know the 21 irrefutable laws of lordship from the Master. Now, I'm not against John. I know John. He's a great leader. I love to read his stuff. But you see, we can get out of balance to think that we can take the ways of man and the way that they do it in the corporate world and bring it to the church. And I'm telling you, the church is not to be run like the corporate world. That's not who we are. The church is a place of service. It's a place of ordinary people that God touches and raises up. Do we need to use leadership? Sure we do. We need to be smart and we need to use those principles. But if we ever bring the principles of man to the church to the place that the principles of God are lowered, then we've made the ways of man higher than the ways of God. Because you see, God still uses the preaching of his word, the praying of his people, the telling of his gospel. It's not glitz and glamour that touches this world. It's a man with a towel washing some guy's feet in Jesus' name. He that exalts himself will be brought low, but he that humbles himself, God will exalt in due time. Because Psalm 78 says that exaltation does not come from the north or the south, the east or the west. But God chooses to put down one and to raise up another. Our Lord, when he finds those people that he can put his spirit on, will raise them up. It is the very way of God. Well, tonight when we have this invitation, I'm going to do it upside down as I do from time to time, and I'm going to do it here. I want my piano player to come and begin to play, and while she plays, I'm going to walk out in the foyer, and while I'm out in the foyer, if you want to trust the Lord, then you come out and see me. If you want to join the church, you come out and see me, okay? I'll be right out here.